This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Danielle Knapp, associate curator of the Jordan Schnitzer Museum at the University of Oregon, about current shows there, including new American acquisitions. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre.
The first annual Jim Pepper Native Arts Festival will take place Wednesday, August 7th and Saturday, August 10th at Park Rose High School Performing Arts Center, 12003 Northeast Shaver Street, Portland. Jim Pepper was born in Salem, Oregon and lived in the Portland area for many years. A jazz saxophone composer and singer of Native American ancestry, he became a pioneer of fusion jazz in the late 1960s. This event is sponsored by KBOO Community Radio and the Oregon Cultural Heritage Commission. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, July 16th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Well, the Columbia River Crossing fiasco is just starting to sprout wings of corruption and soar. Maybe we don't need a bridge anyway. And sometimes a smile and a filibuster will get you further than a filibuster alone. Obama's appointment deadlock seems to be over, and he may, before his second term ends, be able to get some of his appointments through. Secretary of State John Kerry is back in the Middle East for a sixth try at negotiating something between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Alas, at this point, the credibility of America as a fair broker has been somewhat shattered by the behavior of American diplomats. It's not really diplomacy, is it, when it comes at the barrel of a gun? But before we get to any of that, we'll be also trying to speak with Floyd Jones of Friends of the Reservoirs. There's a lot happening. Once again, they're trying to embalm our water. They don't seem to be able to embalm anything nuclear up at Hanford, but they certainly wanted to have a go at Portland's water supply. First, from the National Weather Service, though, isolated showers today and possible thunderstorms, but later on. Otherwise, sunny and a high near 88. In other words, it's going to be very hot and muggy. Not much in the way of wind, and for tonight, there's a very slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, overcast skies with the low around 59. And for tomorrow, sunny skies, highs around 82. Negligible breeze, and tomorrow night, once again, clear with a low around 58. And that's it. That's the National Weather Service. The alternative forecast, we have a first quarter root moon in Virgo. The moon is 8 days old. Synodic forecast, it's a good time to sow vegetables, produce internal seed-bearing fruits, and a biodynamic outlook with the moon in Virgo as an earth sign. So now's good time for root plants. Sidereal people have this to say for us. The moon in Virgo, dry and barren, good time for garden maintenance. It's with the moon right now waxing, it's probably a good time to plant just about anything, though there are ways of approaching that. So that takes care of the alternative as well as the conventional forecast. And moving straight into news from around Cascadia, Before we get to that, I just want to give you a quote of the day from David Coombs, the attorney for Bradley Manning. The role of the court is not to help the government to clean up the mess it has created. Let me read it again. The role of the court is not to help the government to clean up the mess that it has created. That from David Coombs. But moving straight into news from Cascadia, four people were arrested after a good-sized crowd gathered at Mount Tabor Park to protest the city's decision to follow a federal mandate to cover over the reservoirs. That's actually a euphemism for privatizing our water supplies. The group at the park last night... most people left. Of course, the authorities showed up with bullhorns and attempted to run people off. The roots of this go back to the Bush administration and really further than that, when the Environmental Protection Agency issued a rule to prevent contamination by cryptosporidium. Of course, it then was revealed that cryptosporidium is more or less ubiquitous in the environment anyway. A more virulent form did kill a few people in Milwaukee in 1993, but essentially it's everywhere anyway. The activists, resistance, want city leaders to ask Oregon's congressional delegation for help pursuing a waiver or extension. And we have people who do this, we have them to thank for what's left of our own discretion in running our own affairs. It's the people, the activists that show up time and again and stand up to power. We owe them a great debt of gratitude. And that said, from down in Eugene, protesters who were kicked out of a county-owned plaza got the first of what could be several days in court yesterday. They are, are seeking a dismissal of the trespassing charges that they violated their free speech rights. There was no ruling as of yesterday. The case resumes on Thursday with an attorney delivering arguments and on a defense motion to dismiss the charges. And no one knows right now how soon Municipal Judge Karen Stennard is planning a ruling on the motion. Here the issues are second-degree trespassing citations issued to 22 activists on two occasions. A local group advocating for the homeless held protests at the Wayne Morris Free Speech. Don't you love it when people get arrested for speaking out in free speech areas? And, of course, this one named for Wayne Morris, but one of Oregon's legendary legislators. 21 of the people, though, who were charged with remaining in the plaza after its official 11 p.m. Closing, the ones who were in court. One single protester, Ali Valkyrie, was cited on December 13th after she refused to leave the plaza when County Administrator Lane Richardson announced that it was being closed for, get this, health and safety reasons. They're protesting on behalf of the homeless. If the city of Eugene is so concerned about health and safety, one would imagine that they would take steps to provide housing, safe, clean housing for homeless people. I suppose it depends on exactly where the health and safety begin and end for some people. Moving right along, of course, have been treated just recently, just yesterday, to the trailer, as it were, for the movie of John Kitzhaber's, one of his Columbia River Crossing top teammates has been charged with corruption, and we'll be watching how that plays out. Apparently, the person in question failed to register as a lobbyist and seemed to be working for the backers of the Columbia River Crossing as well as Kitts Harbor. So if anybody out there wondered how and why the governor seemed to cling to the project long after it had been amply demonstrated to be, no pun intended here, dead in the water, why he continued to attempt to strong-arm Washington legislators into signing off on this terrible disaster in the waiting. And we have, after speaking yesterday with the Sierra Club's a specialist on the trade pacts, specifically the Trans-Pacific Partnership, we today are treated to this. Outsourcing apparently is becoming outsourcing to foreign lands is a little bit getting too pricey. People are beginning to stand up for their rights in places like China. So as the U.S. corporate interests gaze around the world, they found actually closer to home third world nations. Yep. Reservations. Yes, indeed. The third world is right here in Cascadia. Look no further than the average reservation if you want to see true third world conditions. The Oregonian, and you really should read it once in a while if you want to see some amazing acrobatic feats of journalism. It kicks off its story on rural outsourcing with the sunny saga of a company that's not only has outsourced itself to reservations, its specialty is, wait for it, outsourcing. Yeah, Cayuse Technologies employs about 300 people, but instead of engaging in the sort of low-wage foreign labor that it sells, Cayuse outsources to low-wage domestic labor. Yes, Cayuse employs citizens of America's rural third world. The model uses the local talent pool for tax purposes, and because of the abundance of desperate people willing to work for beans, Cayuse hired residents, of course, of the Umatilla County Indian Reservation. Cayuse's Randy Willis has been researching the idea of rural outsourcing. He looked at American Indian tribes across the country, and here's what Willis saw was the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla County Indian Reservation, and they signed him up for a 5-year agreement. Cayuse Technology opened business 3 weeks later. Just 3 weeks. Imagine that. Cayuse has three main service. This is what they do. Application, outsourcing, that's development and maintenance of software programs. Business process outsourcing, that's secretarial support services for executive clients. Executive clients, that's not you and I, of course. We can't get any of these people. And infrastructure outsourcing, that's the help desk. So that's what they provide, all via the Umatilla Reservation. The company serves, it's hard to get through, it's difficult to actually get through stories like this. The company serves regional, national, and global clients, and it's privately owned. The names of the clients are protected. I had a crack at it, and it turns out they do have a pretty serious firewall around that pool of information. We, of course, are treated to, on the heels of the Trayvon Martin verdict, of course, Oregon's gun control laws has went down in flames. There is more talk across the board on the Zimmerman verdict. And the question that we want to ask, of course, is, we will be asking Richard Cohen of the Southern Poverty, he's the executive director of the Southern Poverty Law Conference. We'll be speaking with Richard a little later in the week on the question of, is this normal conduct for neighborhood watch personnel? Is it normal to be carrying a gun and cruising around neighborhoods, essentially looking for trouble, looking for someone to shoot? Because you know what? People now know that it's okay to shoot unarmed people of color. Because why? Because they're a threat. This, too, the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, joined by 14 media organizations, has filed a friend of the court, that's an amicus brief, arguing that Google and Microsoft should be allowed to broadly discuss their compelled participation in government surveillance activities. That's it. That's it. Google and Microsoft are arguing that they want to openly discuss their compelled participation in government surveillance practices. The court should release those decisions that interpret the FISA laws and create binding precedent, as the ACLU and the Media Freedom and Information Access Clinic at Yale Law have argued in yet a third case. More on that, we'll be getting into that in more detail later on in the week. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, July 16th, 2013. Janet Anderson engineered the show today. Thanks so much, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints. We have an in-depth discussion with Makani Temba, founder of the Praxis Project, on the not guilty verdict in the close range, I don't know what to call this, assassination, yeah, of Trayvon Martin by George Zimmerman. Also, we'll have a report on the boycott of companies that do business with Israel in the U.S. and around the world. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, I'm sure you have heard, and you may have been out in the street. You may have been protesting. I rather doubt there are very few people listening to this show or this network that are celebrating what happened in Florida. But believe me.